Hebrews chapter 12, let's begin reading in verse 25. The Bible says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I don't think anybody would argue that God created man a free moral agent. And by that, what I mean is he gave man the right and the ability to pick and to choose for himself. We have that reasoning capability. We have that right to make those choices. Many times, man will make the wrong choice. Maybe he didn't have enough information. Or maybe he just was stubborn, bullheaded, and obstinate, and refused to listen to reason and made the wrong choice anyway. But also, the man will often make the right choices. One of the things that we ought to try to do is to gather enough information so that when we do make a choice, it's an informed choice. So that we're not making one where it seems as if we're just rolling a dice or spinning a wheel and saying, "Oh, this is what I'm going to do," depending on what number it happens to turn up. We need to make wise decisions in life because we are free moral agents. He gives man, whether they're lost or saved, the right to choose whether or not he will heed the Lord's word. Now this is where the message is coming from today. We have the ability and the God-given responsibility, plus the right to choose whether or not we will heed or not heed what God says. Now, God's not going to force His Word on anyone. He doesn't force salvation on anyone. He doesn't force obedience on anyone. He may make us wish we had of obeyed, make us wish we had made the right choice, make us wish that we had trusted Him, but He's not going to force us one way or the other. It appears to me today that many have chosen to do what Paul warned these people not to do, and that's to refuse to hear. A lot of people have refused to hear what God has to say. The word refuse, according to Webster, means to show or express oneself as unwilling to do or to comply with. Now, I must admit to you, there are a lot of things in God's Word that go against this flesh. And there are things that God wants His children to do that are hard for us to do. It's hard for us to treat people who mistreat us in an acceptable way. We, as children with an Adamic nature, want to hit back when we're hit. But God tells us we're to love our enemies and we're to do good to those that despitefully use us. And that's hard for us to do. And that we have a choice. We can either do what He says or we can refuse it and say, "I'm not willing to do it." Now, there are many people today who are not listening to what God says. Not listening. Now, hear me. And there's a difference between hearing and listening. Because hearing, you hear everything that's going on. You're hearing sounds now that you don't even realize are going in your ear. You're hearing what I have to say, but are you listening to what I have to say? Because listening means you are attentive to what's being said with the idea that I will put into practice what is being said or stop doing what we are warned against. How do I know a lot of people are not listening today? Because I don't see changes in the lives. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when I see people that are supposed to be listening, but who are not living by faith, then the two don't go together, do they? Somehow or another, that listening or that hearing hasn't produced faith the way that my Bible says that it will. The fruit that is to be produced by the Word is not being made manifest. I'm not seeing it. It's just like when we have children. You ever had a child and that child was a little on the stubborn side? You know they're hearing you, but they're not listening to you. They're standing there and you're trying to tell them to stop doing it. And one of my favorite things, and you can say what you want, but I always loved it when my kids had their back to me. And I'm trying to get their attention and I'm trying to instruct them and they're ignoring me. And I know they hear what I'm saying. I love to sneak up behind them and put a real good one right on the rear end. Get that attention. Boy, they'll jump and holler and turn around. Yes, what do you want? I'm talking to you. I want that attention because I want them to change or do something that they're not doing. I won't ever forget, as long as I live, my oldest boy was sitting right on the front of the pews over at Rising. You remember this, Tim? And I was talking about, I had already told him, you can sit up there with your buddies as long as you pay attention. Well, as little boys of that size would do, they weren't paying attention. And they were beginning to get distracted to the people behind them. And it just happened that I was talking about names. And I told them, we tried to pick names for our children that you could walk out the back door and yell real loud. And I'd already looked at him 2 or 3 times and I couldn't get his attention. So boy, about that time I said, just like the word, Timothy! And he about jumped plumb out of his skin, but I had his attention. Guess what? All 3 of them straightened up. The rest of that service, I didn't have to say Timothy again. All I had to do was look over and all 6 eyes was on me. They were listening to what I had to say. So sometimes, folks, God may have to get our attention. We'll get back to that here in just a moment. But God gives us the choice of whether we will listen or whether we won't. And our children, when they made the choice not to listen, we got their attention because what we were trying to say to them was good for them. It was to correct some improper behavior or instruct them on how to do something. I've even had to take them and take their little face and say, listen to me, read my lips, this is what I want you to do. Because I wasn't just speaking to hear my lips flap together. I wasn't just speaking to spit little air bubbles out on them. I wanted their attention. Well, God has a right for us to listen to what He has to say. And that's the reason that He's writing to them. They've been tempted to turn back to Judaism, to turn from the heavenly to the temporary, to turn from the law, from grace back to the law. And it's a matter of grace. He wants them to go forward with their Christian life and not backward. And the reason they're not going forward is they are refusing to hear what God has to say. And there's a lot of people like that today. The writer has exhorted these that Christ is better in every way, that they are to listen to what is being said and they are to put it into practice. He says, see that you refuse not Him that speaketh, and it's the one that speaketh from heaven. I'm here to tell you right up front that when we stand before the righteous judge, there will be no valid excuses that any of us will be able to give why we didn't listen to what He had to say. Because He not only speaks to us through Sunday school teachers and Sunday school material, He speaks to us through the Word of God as we read it. He speaks to us through His voice as the pastor tries His best to proclaim the truths of God's Word. He speaks to us in a still small voice. He's trying to talk to us at all times. It's just we're not listening. And we're not going to have an excuse for that. We're just going to have to say, I was a stubborn and rebellious child. There'll be no reasons to avoid in hearing and serving God. We won't be able to give it. So I want us to examine this peril. And folks, it is a peril. It's one of those things that puts people in a bad position. There's, first of all, look at the danger. It's important to note that the things being refused are instructions and warnings. He talks about the Old Testament here. Let's read it again. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. And here you go on down, and he's talking about when the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai and all the things that Moses would instruct them in. These did come from God, but God was using His spokesperson, Moses, to relate them to the people. Moses spoke the words of warning and the words of instruction to the Israelites. They had a choice. They could either listen to what he said or they could ignore and refuse what he said. There were times that they would listen and do, and then they'd forget about it or neglect it, but there were other times they just absolutely refused to listen, and then they would make all kinds of excuses about why they were in the shape they were in, or why they didn't listen, or why they didn't do it. They would avoid the issues, and as a result, they received judgment. Now, I'm afraid sometimes we use that word and people automatically think of going to hell. Well, I want you to understand something. When God judges one of His children, He's not judging their sin, He's judging their action. Your sin has already been judged in Christ on the cross of Calvary. But God is looking at our work, our life, our lack of doing what He wants us to do. And if He judges what we are doing as being inappropriate, He's going to chastise us. He will take us to the woodshed. He'll sneak up behind you and give you that good swift swat to get your attention. It's important that we know this, because each time these folks did not heed Moses, and you could go on and broaden this out, every time they refused to listen to the prophets, every time they refused to listen to the judges, they got into trouble. Every time. God did not let these children get by with disobeying. They did not let them get by with refusing to hear what was said without bringing some sort of chastisement, some sort of judgment upon them. Now, if they were chastised, how much greater do you think New Testament Christians stand in need of chastisements when they refuse one that speaks from heaven? See, the Israelites refused to hear Moses. But we have Christ who speaks from heaven. Now, yes, He spoke from heaven back then through Moses. And you say, well, He's speaking to us today through a preacher. Well, I want you to understand something. You have the entire written Word of God. They didn't have that. In Moses' day, folks, they didn't have, well, basically, I'm not even sure they had the whole five books, because Moses hadn't written it yet. You see, Moses penned the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible he wrote. So they didn't even have that. So they had to depend upon Moses as God's spokesperson to tell them what He wanted them to know. Well, now you have the written Word of God. What does John chapter 1 and verse 1 tell us? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. We have the written Word of God that tells us about the incarnate Word of God. He still speaks to us from heaven through His book, by His Spirit. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Let's go over there and read it. What does it say? It's really good. Verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The written Word of God fills this bill, but it refers to it as a Him. It is, you cannot separate the written Word of God from the incarnate Word of God. They go hand in hand. And when you read the written Word of God, you are reading about the incarnate Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, speaks to us. It tells us. It talks to us. It helps us to understand. And folks, the peril for us is even greater because He warns us from heaven. The more light you have, the more light you are responsible for. And you have all of the light that's ever going to be given to humanity. It's here. It's not a mere mortal man that speaks to us, but it's the Son of God who sees right through our excuses and our puny fronts that we put up. He knows instantly if we are avoiding the truth or if we're not. The one we refuse to hear and make excuses to has a voice that has already shaken the earth. Folks, He has a voice that spoke the earth into existence. It shook Mount Sinai when He was on top and spoke. The people heard it that day, and they could not withstand the things that were commanded that day. It shook. These folks would be aware of that because they had the Old Testament to read. And even those that might not have been able to read Hebrew could read Greek. And the Old Testament had been translated into what's called the Septuagint. So everyone could have read what happened. Folks, He has a kind of voice. Remember with me, if you will, the night that He's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. When they come out looking for Jesus, when He speaks, every one of them fall flat on the ground. They can't even stand up under the voice of the Son of God. That's the kind of voice that He has. Folks, if it shook the earth then, look what He says here. The one that we refuse to hear and make excuses to will shake the earth and the heavens in a final judgment. It's going to be a shaking where the temporary will be burned up. The things that we think or that people think are so permanent that are going to be here forever, they're going to be shaken. They're going to be judged. They'll be destroyed by fire. And only the eternal things will remain. Man's works will be burned up. Only heavenly things of God will stick around. We'll see new heavens and a new earth. We'll stand before the judge, the Lord in judgment, and we'll give account of how we handled our life and our walk of faith. Our excuses and our avoidances will be judged. Our works will be tried in the fire. And only those that were done of faith will be turned into gold and silver and precious stones. Everything else will be like stubble. It'll be burned up. There will be no lying or no excuses that will be valid when we stand before the judge. I want to tell you something else. I don't think the Lord lets us go that far before He's already taken out the rod of correction. The Bible says He chastens those whom He loveth. I want to go over to the book of Proverbs. I want to go to chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 24. He says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." You'd have none of it. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Folks, I think there is a very real and present danger for anyone who refuses to listen to and heed the Word of God. When God's Word says for us not to do something, that "not" is not going to change. If it was wrong 1,000 years ago, it'll be wrong 1,000 years from now. And it's wrong, and if we refuse to listen to that and go our merry way, then when God takes out the rod of correction and begins to spank us with it, then it's Him disciplining us, trying to teach us that our actions are wrong, that we need to listen to what's being said. And here's what's bad, is that He has to take that rod out to get people's attention. But if they just listen to preachers and Sunday school teachers, just listen to the Word, wouldn't be necessary. Years ago, Vicky's grandma was riding with her youngest son from Spring Hill, Louisiana to Hoopston, Illinois. I don't know how far they had gotten, but she was sitting in the back seat and she told her son, "I need to use the restroom." Now she's sitting right behind him. I'm sure she wasn't wearing a safety belt. I'm sure she's right in his ear saying, "Jerry, I need to go to the restroom." He refused to listen to his mama. She warned him a second time, "Son, I need to use the restroom." He continued to refuse to listen to his mama. She took her purse and she brared back and whopped him right in the back of the head and said, "I said I need to use the restroom." You know what he said? "Yes, ma'am." And he pulled into the first gas station he could find. Now, folks, what's sad is he ignored his mama. Even though he's a grown man, she's still an authority figure in his life. He didn't need to ignore her. He needed to listen to her. And it was important. And she got his attention. But what's sad is, God is speaking to us from heaven. You'll find nothing more important than the Word of God in your life. You'll find there's no advice that's as valid and as good and as important as you'll find from the Scriptures. And what's sad is some people are just like him. They're driving down the road, ignoring everything that God's trying to tell them. He may be warning them about a bridge that's out up the road, but they're just driving down the road in their happy ignorance, in their happy disobedience, in their happy refusal of His counsel, and they'll go headlong into their own destruction. But folks, I believe with all my heart God tries to get their attention before they get to that point of destruction. I think He slaps us in the back of the head occasionally, so to speak. I think He swats us on the rear end occasionally, so to speak. I think He takes us to the woodshed trying to get our attention. And what's bad is some people don't recognize that that's the hand of God at work trying to get their attention, so they'll quit refusing to listen to what He says. Now, I'm going to tell you, my mama was the disciplinarian in our family. The reason being because Dad was afraid he would hurt us. Now, not that I ever needed discipline, you understand. I was the perfect child. Now, I probably got about half of what I needed. But she would get your attention. You know why? Because she loved me. Do you know why God spanks His children? Because He loves us. He doesn't want us refusing His Word, failing to listen to what He has to say. You know, the writer here gave them a wonderful illustration. And he presents God as a God that demands respect. If you don't respect Him for anything, just respect Him because of who He is. And that's enough. Not because of what He's done for you. So if you find yourself under the chastening hand of God, two things. Number one, thank God you're a child of God. Number two, find out what it is He's trying to get through to you. Find out what it is He's wanting you to do. It might be that He's got your attention because He wants you to take a side road so that you will be out of danger from something else worse down the road. I believe with all my heart that people can sin away their God-given time of repentance. And I also believe that disobedience, a failure to yield to the Word of God, if we continue to refuse the Word of God, that can lead to an early grave. I think there's some people that have died very young because God knew they were never going to listen to Him. They were never going to heed His Word, and it would do less harm to the cause of Christ if they were with Him in heaven or out of this world. So be careful. There is a danger in refusing to listen to God's Word. Now, I want to tell you something else. All this that we see now is going to be burned up, every bit of it. Our God is a consuming fire, and there is a judgment that's coming. Peter tells about it over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse 9, he says, or let's go back to verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Kind of people should we be? He's warned us. Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I do this, I'm coming back and I'm going to take you to be with me. That's paraphrased. All through His New Testament and even in the Old Testament, He talks about this. He's warned about it. Matthew 24 and 25 speaks about it. Here 1 Peter speaks about it. The book of Revelation. We know that there's going to come an end, that this world is going to be burned up with fire. He's already shaken the earth once. He's going to shake it again. He sent a flood the first time. He promised the next time it will be by fire. So we need to understand there's a preventative part of this. We all like to talk about the heavenly kingdom, don't we? We like to talk about the heaven age. It excites us to think about it. And oh, so many songs have been written about it. But here it's used as a motivation for us to listen to the Word of God. When we think about the heavenly things, we're thinking about eternal things. He's saying, you better stop looking at all these temporary things. You better stop placing so much importance on all of these worldly things, because they're going to burn up. And you better start thinking about the heavenly things. Folks, what's the one thing in this room right now, other than your spirit, that's never going to pass out of existence? I can tell you this building is going to rot, decay, or get burned up. I can tell you that my glasses are not going to last forever. This sound system's not going to last forever. And although this Word, the pages of this Word may not, the Word of God is eternal. It's never going out of existence. It'll always be as long as He is. And He is forever. So we can take that to the bank. We better start listening to what the eternal Word has to say to us. We better start heeding what He wants us to do. These people are going to be alive when the temple is destroyed in AD 70. And it's going to bring a greater significance to them. Folks, we need to have our mind on heavenly things. Store up our treasures in heaven where the thieves can't steal it and the moths can't eat it up and the rust can't destroy it. Because the Bible says where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And our hearts need to be on heavenly things. And if they are, then we're not going to refuse the Word of God. We're going to listen to it. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the person that's lost, if they're listening and paying attention, this Word will help them to have the faith to repent of their sin and trust Christ as their Savior. For those who are saved, this Word will increase our faith so that we can tackle the problems of life that come up and do it in a way that's godly, that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Our lives will change because of this Word, because we are listening to it and not refusing it. Realizing then that we are heirs of that unshakable kingdom, we are to serve God. And we serve Him. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. We serve Him by following what His Word says, by putting into practice what His Word says. We present acceptable things to Him by faith, that the Bible increases as we read it and study it and put it into practice. You know, He talks about the reverence and the awe that we are to have. And that's the truth. We are to serve Him out of respect, out of love, out of a fearful reverence Look what again what it says. Hebrews chapter 12. He says, "Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The Old Testament people mixed a little love in with a whole lot of fear. New Testament Christians under grace have a lot of love, but we're to mix a little bit of fear in with the love. You know, I realize that the fear talks about reverence and awe, but I think it also helps to have a healthy dose of a little bit of pure fear. It didn't hurt anything that I had a great love for her. But it didn't help anything that I had a healthy fear of her right arm either. Now please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to paint my mom as a mean person, because she wasn't. It had to be very, very serious before I got a spanking. But you know why I didn't get many, and I don't remember getting any for the same thing twice? Because I had that healthy fear of her. I had that healthy fear. I knew what she was capable of doing. Folks, we better understand something. God spoke the world into existence. He literally brought you here, and He can take you out of this place. It helps to have just a healthy fear. Love Him, respect Him, revere Him, reverence Him, but you better have a little understanding of what He can and cannot do. See, He can't lie. He can't deny Himself. And He couldn't save you and save Jesus too. But folks, there's very little else He can't do. If He chooses to take you to the woodshed, He'll take you to the woodshed whether you want to go or not. If He chooses to spank you until you are absolutely brokenhearted and repentant, He can do it. And folks, He knows how to do it and do it very well. And He knows where to do it to get our attention. So please, have a healthy respect for our God. Don't refuse His Word. Lost friend, listen to me. Please don't refuse the Word of God. Repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because our God, as Paul said here, is a consuming fire. And that's where everybody's headed without Christ. And those the rest of us that are saved, listen to the Lord. Don't refuse His Word. Avoid those trips to the woodshed by being obedient to what He has to say.